Thank you. Our next case is Difan v. Target Corporation, 2021-1725. Mr. Dahlgren.
The district court made a mistake with construing the claims as mean plus function claims when there is ample support in the claims and very intricate connections between the various components and structures. I'd like to talk just about, you know, two things. First, to go over the claims and the structure and the support that's in them, and also how Target failed to rebut the presumption that means plus function, I guess 112 paragraph 6 doesn't apply because the claims don't recite means. So Target has criticized us for citing some pre-Williamson cases, but the law remains that the claims themselves can provide sufficient structure so that 112 paragraph 6 is not appropriate. In Apple, for example, the court said structure could be in the claims description of the operation, including its inputs, outputs, and connections. And the operations weren't just its functions, how the function is achieved in the context of the invention.
But counsel, on at least 25 occasions here, we have the word application or code followed by a function. And why isn't it necessary that that function should be represented in the specification by structure or by an algorithm? I mean, isn't that basically what 112.6 is for?
Well, Your Honor, so the claim itself can recite the algorithm in prose, and that's the situation that we have here. And additionally, the application is executed on a mobile device. The district court concluded that a mobile device is another NOS word, a general purpose computer. And
counsel?
I think that is very custom, sir.
Counsel, I just wanted to ask you, what is your evidence for why the word code and why the word application is not a nonce word?
Target's expert, Dr. Goldberg, said those were terms of art. And the law says that if a term has a well-understood meaning, that could be sufficient structure for the claims and the function.
So you're saying that we look at how a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand a word and whether a pose would understand it to connote a class of structures, and your position is that code and application connote a class of structures. What evidence are you relying on for that?
Dr. Goldberg, their expert.
And do you want to tell us some of that evidence, like give us some of the testimony you're relying on?
Yes. I apologize. Get my glasses. So, Dr. Goldberg stated that application.
Where are you reading from?
So I'm reading from the appendix at it's page 86, and that's lines 58, lines 4 through 6, also 59.
Counsel, I apologize, but I couldn't hear the page number that you identified for us.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the first site that we have is page 58, and that's lines 4 through 6.
Are you talking about a transcript page, or are you?
I thought you were talking about, yes, it's 886. I'm sorry, that's the appendix page number.
And page 58 of the transcript.
Correct. Yeah, page 58 of the transcript. And then also page 59 of the transcript.
Are you pointing us to the language that says, is it fair to say an application is a term of art? What other, do you want to identify for us the specific language you're focusing on?
Yes, Your Honor, let me just turn to it. So at 58 lines 4 through 6, the question is, so is it fair to say application is a term of art? His response was yes. On 59, the question was, would you consider display to be a term of art in the computer science field? And he said yes, both the noun and the verb.
But what I'm confused about is I don't see how the term code or application defines a physical structure. I mean, they're both terms that are described by, they're software terms that describe what they do. They're described by their function. They're defined by their function. It's not like a term computer, which is a physical thing. So I guess I'm having difficulty understanding how this aspect of 112.6 is invoked where the term can't have any structure.
So, Your Honor, the application in the claim is configured to be executed on the mobile device. So it's not divorced and just it kind of an abstract. It's on a mobile device, it works with a mobile device, it uses a display of the mobile device. And so, for example, outputting visual information due to the mobile device and the admissions that we got from Target's expert about the graphical user interface and drivers that would work with a display that are loaded on mobile devices, those together are sufficient to provide the output of visual information function that the court identified for the second group of claims.
Counsel, isn't there a testimony that someone could buy an application off the shelf?
Certain applications, yes, that's correct. So there are a number of conventional programs. We're not purporting to have invented a new protocol. We're using mainly this existing technology in a more efficient way. That's really the invention. We're not recreating the wheel.
And the expert, Target's expert, admitted that, right? That there's certain off the shelf. When you think about applications, an application is a list of instructions,
that's
and you can buy it off the shelf to achieve certain functions.
Yes, Your Honor. So,
but then it's not worthy of patent if an application providing for certain functions which are in the claim can be bought off the shelf. It's on sale. It's not subject eligible for patent.
What if there's other?
Your Honor, so it's not the entirety of the claim. It's a component that is being utilized, and it's again, how we utilize these various components to do targeted advertising is kind of the gist of the invention, if you will. But, Your Honor, to your point, Appendix 924, Dr. Goldberg admitted that there were no software libraries, that a placebo would have known could be used to generate messages based on information that is received. With respect to the purchasing, again, also 924, transcript page 213, lines 4 through 14, and also transcript page 211.
You should probably give us the appendix pages.
Oh, sorry, it's appendix page 924. And here he's talking about standard
software. What page of the transcript?
It's 211, line 9 through 212, line 1, and then 213, lines 4 through 14.
Counsel, did you want to address the system claims?
The
system
yes,
terms,
so,
I should say. Can I ask you one preliminary question? I understand the claims at issue that we're talking about have the application code term in them as well as the system term in them. Is that correct? Like, I'm looking for examples.
Sorry, I didn't hear the last part. I heard the application. What was there was a second piece?
Well, I was looking, for example, at claim 15 of the 292 patent. And I was saying that I think that claim, which I'm looking at as a representative claim, has both the system element in it as well as the code or app element in it. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. And with respect to the system claim, you have to look at the limitation in the context of the entire claim. I believe that the Apex case stands for that proposition. You don't look at this limitation in isolation. You have to have context for it. And so when you look at claim 25 and term 28 in particular, but in conjunction with claim 11, from which it depends, you really have what you have is a system that comprises in part an application where the application, when executed by a mobile device, is configured to, in part, receive an indication of user input on the mobile device, send a message from the mobile device to retrieve location-relevant information. It receives from server a message with that information. It causes the mobile device to output via the mobile device the visual information that's based on the location-relevant information that was retrieved from the server. And then the where in clause, it's configured to output different visual information, but that aspect has its own requirements. It's after indication that user input is received. It's after output of visual information. And it's as the mobile device is moving in the building. So it's a very, very specific recitation. This is not something that's preempting all uses of the term application. And going to claim 25 in particular, there, the system is configured such that the subsequent output of different visual information is caused without any additional user input. So that initial user input isn't necessary again to receive another message. So it's just adding on another detail, another requirement for this system. So party criticizes us for having very lengthy claims, but the result is that they're also very narrow.
Counsel, can I ask you a question? Are you aware of any federal circuits holding that the preamble of a claim plus a later wherein clause that refers to the word in the preamble of the claim is written in 112.6 paragraph format?
Your Honor, I don't have it on the top of my head. I recall seeing some case discussing the preamble, but I apologize, I don't remember the specifics. I can look for it opposing counsel's arguing. I did want to touch on one last thing. That's the failure to consider the prosecution history and the statements in the prosecution history that were made by the prosecuting attorney that 1+6 doesn't apply. The court did not agree with that. That's a question of law.
That's a question of law rather than the intent of the applicant, isn't it?
It's part of the intrinsic record. That is true, and it's, I guess, for the court to decide how much weight is going to be given. I think that that's right. We took the position, you know, we're not saying that's dispositive, but we're saying it's one factor that should be considered in the analysis. And here, the district court did not consider it at all. They dismissed it based on the case law about subjective intent of the debtors, but that's generally after the fact. This is actually part of the record. Markman case noted that it's in the record that it can be considered. And here, we think actually it should be given a fair amount of weight because the claim, in our view, a lot of structure already in it, and it's very specific in how the different elements operate together, the inputs, outputs, and how they're connected. And so I think that this is an example where that would tip the scale, in favor of not having the presumption be overcome. Okay. And counsel, I can't see, am I in my rebuttal time?
Your time is almost totally exhausted, but we will give
if
you,
I can save that, just put a little time.
We will give you 2 minutes back. 2 minutes.
Thank you so much. Time.
Mr. Tyson. Sorry to make you do some physical work here.
That's right. I was in the Navy. I'm used to doing a little bit of physical work, so that's good. Keeps us on our toes. May it please the Court, good morning, Your Honors. I'd like to start actually with Judge Stoll, with your question that you posed to Mr. Dahlgren, which is, why are code and application not a nonce word? And I think, as we put in our briefing, it's not that they could never, that code and application couldn't by itself describe a particular function, but that is only the court's is very clear that
it's structure. The question is whether a person of ordinary skill in the art, hearing the word code or the word application or seeing it, would think it connotes a class of structures, right? That is the right test.
The
right?
Test is the test again, the test can be rebutted if the claim recites a function that does not recite sufficient structure to perform that function.
Now I think the first step is this, okay? This claim doesn't say means plus function. It doesn't literally use the word means. So first, you have to see whether, even though it doesn't use the word means, and that means there's a presumption that 112.6 doesn't apply, even though it doesn't use the word means, would a person of ordinary skill in the art, looking at that word, think that it, understand that it is a nonce term that doesn't tell you any structure, or would they understand that code and application connote some sort of structure?
And I think in certain cases, there's a number of cases actually that this court has examined the issue, whether it be the word program, whether it be the word appropriate programming, the word software, all of these types of words. And they say that in the context of a general purpose computer, if a general purpose computer is performing a general purpose computer function, then the word code executing on a processor, if you recite processor processing information, if you write code for a device to receive information, these are the type of general purpose computer functions that can be performed.
What cases are you talking about? Because so, there's also cases like, I think it's zero click that have a different outcome.
Yeah, and I can talk about zero click a little bit. Zero click is,
well, no, first, I want to know which cases you're relying on to say that when I see program for doing something, I should be thinking that it's a means plus function.
Yes, ma'am. I point to Aristocrat at 1383, which is...
Was Aristocrat written as means plus function, or was it written as program for doing something?
So that term was written in a means plus function format.
It was literally, the claim itself, did it say means for doing something?
It did.
Okay, so you're looking at the second step.
Well, I'm looking at how does
the first step, just let me talk for a minute.
Yes, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
Thank you. You've confused the first step with the second step. The first step did this claim drafter choose to use 112 sixth paragraph to write their claims? And we analyze that by determining whether a POSA would look at the word and think it's a nonce term or not. It's not really something that you look to the specification for. But nonetheless, let's say it is a means plus function format. Then you have to look at the function, you find the corresponding structure in the specification that performs that function. If it's software, there has to be an algorithm, or the claim is indefinite. Just make sure that you're not confusing the two steps. They're different, they're distinct.
Yes, Your Honor. And I think that this is, I mean, we talk a lot about the zero-click case because the appellant is taking the position that the zero-click case is saying that if I recite the word code, that it is not a nonce word. That user interface code.
I agree with you on that. I think sometimes maybe, well, I don't know if I agree with you on that. But on the evidence in this case, there's evidence in this case that says application is something that returns something to a user. Code is, you know, both of those are lists of instructions. Mm-hmm. There's evidence from your expert that says it can be bought off the shelf. I'm seeing there's evidence that a person of ordinary skill in the art would know this is a term of art. There's some other quotes from your expert that suggest that these words aren't nonce terms, that in fact it might be a broad class of structures, but there's some structure associated with the word application and code.
I think
that, again, this is not going first step.
Yes,
is it a nonce term or does it connote structure?
The other cases that I would look at is Apple, the Apple case that we talked about.
I understand, but do you want to address my question, or do you want to talk about the cases?
Okay, well, I was trying to answer your other question. Okay, so there is evidence in this case, and all of that evidence, it's extrinsic evidence, which I'll just point out that the appellant many, many times before the court said, it's unreliable. This is unreliable. He didn't look at the communication protocols. So now he's saying, okay, you should rely on this evidence. But what I tell you is each of those.
But this is your expert's evidence. This is your expert's testimony.
It is. And so and each of those questions, Your Honor, were posed in the context of a vacuum. They weren't about this claim. They weren't about this specification.
I told you before the question for whether it's written as a nonce term or written under 112.6, whether it connotes structure is whether a POSA would understand the word connote structure. So why isn't, I actually think our cases often rely on extrinsic evidence to answer that question. Expert testimony, technical dictionaries, things like that.
And Your Honor, I guess it does not stop at that point because you have to look at, with software, you have to look at the function. You absolutely have to look at the function. You cannot just recite code for doing anything and have it not be governed under means plus function.
Your view is that the word code and the word application is just too nebulous to know what it is.
No, it doesn't define a particular set of structures.
Why does it
absent?
Why does it have to, for purposes of just seeing this first part, which is whether a person, the claim drafter, intended to invoke 112.6 paragraph in drafting his or her claims, Why isn't it enough to say it connotes a class of structure? It's a list of written instructions.
Even under the Apple case, Your Honor, even under the Apple case, when it's looking at this very first step, it says you have to disclose the inputs, the outputs, and how to accomplish the result. So that's what it's defining as the class of structures.
But the Apple and then case it seems to suggest that you can avoid 112.6 by a sufficient description of the software so that you don't have to look to the specification to find the structure.
I think that there are cases, ZeroClick is one case, and where you don't, I mean, actually ZeroClick case, you did look at the specification as well.
So you want to talk about ZeroClick, I'm asking about the Apple case.
Oh, the Apple case. The Apple case is also looks at the specification.
That's what Judge Prost dissented about in that case. I thought the Apple case said, well, if you have enough description in the claim about what it does, that you don't get into a 112.6 situation.
I think, Your Honor, that there are probably, I have not seen a case that has this yet, but if an applicant claimed a program and recited the specific algorithm in that program or code for performing a function and then claim the algorithm, which the algorithm is a procedure for achieving the result stated in that function.
Why isn't this, the claims here fall into that category of defining sufficiently an algorithm to define?
Well, essentially the case, and we can look at probably, we could just look at that group two term, and that would be in their briefing on the reply brief, page 5, that term is reproduced in its entirety. There's a few other places where it is reproduced, but this is the representative term for group five, and here for the group two terms. And here again, we have said code when executed on a mobile device. That is recited in the claim, and it recites that the function is caused to be output via that mobile device, second visual information based on second location relevant information. So the first question you have to ask is, how is second visual information output based on the received second location information? In that case, is it just outputting the second location relevant information? No, that's not what the claim says. It says, based on, is there another input that it needs to receive in order to do that? How does it generate create this second visual information? Does it look it up on the computer, on the mobile device? Does it have to generate it independently? Is there other information that's needed? None of that is specified here. Then you have these other two limitations that are already in here. After the at least one mobile device is moved in the building and in response to the receipt of the second response message. What impact does the mobile device moving in the building have on the first visual information? The second visual information. Does it change the output? Does it change what type of content that is? And here's a case where, like ZeroClick, in other cases, including the Edgenera case, which I think is honestly the closest case that to the facts here, you have to ask the question, how is the output achieved? How is this result achieved? And that question is not answered by any of the other functions. It's not answered by the fact that it receives a message according to a particular communication protocol. It's not answered based on that it's on a mobile device. In this case, even if we could say mobile device itself had a sufficient structure, when we look to the specification, and we do that in ZeroClick, we do that in Apple, we do that in Edgenera, when we're looking at what this is doing, what you'll see is that the mobile device is said to be any device that has mobile communication capabilities. It could be a boat.
Do you think then, under your view, is mobile device that's written in means plus function format? Because I look to the specification and it's defined very broadly.
No, Your Honor. I think even Judge Albright was looking at this issue. No one's saying mobile device by itself is always a nonce word. Again, in this case,
mobile device is a nonce word.
When you look at mobile device in the context of this patent,
when you look at the specification,
you say, okay, well, this is saying it doesn't really have a structure because it could be a satellite, it could be a boat, it could be a phone, it could be all of these different things. But that doesn't end the inquiry because you still have to look at the function. If this function,
can I interrupt
yes, ma'am.
For a minute? So you're saying that just hypothetically, like any time I look at a claim and it has a word like mobile device in it, I have to be careful because if I look to the specification and mobile device is very broadly defined in your example to include a boat or a satellite, that then I should know that that's written in 112.6 paragraph format.
No, Your Honor, that's not what I'm saying because I'm saying that you still have to look at the function. So if it recited mobile device.
Why do I have to look at the function? I thought our cases said that you're supposed to look at the word that is this alleged substitute for means and determine whether it's a nonce term or whether a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand that term to connote a class of structures.
Your Honor, what is a nonce word? It has to be in context. It doesn't just mean a word. Like, mobile device could be a nonce word if you were saying mobile device to build a house, configured to build a house, mobile device configured to. You have to know what the function is in order to answer the question of, one, is it a nonce word? Or two, are we just claiming a general purpose computer? If this function, which is clearly not, if this function was a general purpose computer function, like receiving data, there are limitations in here where the mobile device receives data. We aren't alleging that those general purpose computer functions are written in means plus function format. We're saying when you have these special purpose computer functions, you can't just say code. And you can't say code executing on a mobile device. You have to provide under Apple, you have to define how that result is achieved. How does it achieve the function? And that is just fundamentally with software. And I think that although the cases that I talked about...
Do you think code configured to cause display? Is that, under your view then, is that a nonce term or not?
Well, that's not what this claim... If it was just... If this claim came said code configured to display received information, I think it would be a much closer case as to whether this is means plus function or not. This doesn't say that.
The problem here is that unlike a situation where you've got physical structure, what the claim says uses a word like code or application is software. It's not a physical structure. So in a way, it seems to me that it's got to be defined by what it does and not by the structure. And if it's defined in the claim sufficiently by what it does, I don't see why then it's a nonce term. Whereas, you know, where you have a physical structure and then you say, oh, well, it's a means plus function claim because it's a nonce term for physical structure, and then these functional limitations lead you to 112.6 inquiry to look at the specification to see what the physical structure is that performs the function. Here, necessarily, code or application is defined in terms of function.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm
saying?
Your
Honor, I 100% agree with you. And I think when you define in terms of function, you still have to, according to because software is defined in terms of function, in order to avoid 112.6, this is what the Edgenera case was looking at, which is very similar to this. And I know I'm over my time. Am I allowed to add?
Finish your thought.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. This is a similar case because that was looking at logic to modify and do it and doing something. This is a case where we've got code, which in the specification, they treated code and logic the same. So it isn't just that software terms are never governed by means plus function. There is a way that you can recite a software code for performing a function. You have to define the algorithm. You have to define under Apple, all of these cases, you have to define how that result is achieved.
Well, when you're dealing with software in 112.6, it sounds to me very much as though you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. The statute wasn't thinking of software when it talked about means plus function, and we're too far down that road to go back, but it's very confusing.
Yeah, Your Honor, I think when I've read the cases, I feel like it's pretty clear that if an applicant wanted to draft a non-means plus function claim that had software, and I'm not just talking about an entire software, that they could do that if they specify an algorithm for achieving the result stated in that function. If they can do that, then it's not a non-means term. But if they don't do that, then you're left in the scenario where they're essentially saying, and this is the case in particular, when you look at the spec, there is no disclosure of how to do this. So you're left with, I invented this result. You guys figure out how to make it happen. We're going to exclude you from practicing this invention, but all I'm going to tell you is the result. I'm not going to tell you how to achieve it.
Thank
and
you,
I think
counsel.
That's the problem we have.
Thank
sorry,
you, Mr. Tyson. I think we have your argument. Let's get set up for rebuttal. Mr. Dahlgren.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Welcome back.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
We'll give you.
I'm sorry about that.
We'll give you. Let me speak, please. We're going to give you 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you very much. So with respect to Dr. Goldberg's admissions about available products that would come off the shelf, it's the appendix at 885, and it's transcript page 57, lines 13 through 19, and then the second site is the following two pages, 886 and 87, and transcript page 60 through 64. So I wanted to address a few points. Aristocrat, it was a means term, and so it's distinguishable on that basis. Also, William said in some of the other cases, I think the opposing counsel said Eganera was a close one. Eganera involved logic to modify, and it had no details on inputs, outputs, or connections whatsoever. And it also covered both physical and software solutions. Same with Williamson. There was a module, and that covered both physical and software implementations. So it's much broader, much more preemptive than what we have. The point we were making about application being a term of art is that it's a known software product, so it's not a hardware product that would cover more.
Your contention is that while code alone might be a nonce word, that it's sufficiently defined by the claims here so that we know what its structure is in terms of an algorithm. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
They say the description is not sufficient to tell you what the algorithm is. What's your response to that?
They haven't really identified what else you would need. I think there's countless patents out there to talk about receiving messages, sending messages, displaying information. And I don't believe that more is required for those basic functions that are present in the claims. So I think that there's case law saying that it has to be commensurate with how complex the technology is. And here, I think it's pretty straightforward, in terms of, what we're doing. I also just want to point out in Williamson and Eganera, the functions that they identified were much more nebulous. In Williamson, it was coordinating the operation of, a data module. And then in Eganera, it was logic to modify. And that was it. So, what's modified? What's coordinated? Here, we're sending messages, we're receiving messages, we're displaying information. It's much more specific than those cases. So with respect to the system claim, I just wanted to point out that the output, if you read both claims, claim 11 and claim 25, it's apparent that the application is doing the output again. And the system is comprised of all these different components, the broadcast units, the apps that are running on mobile devices, there's the server, and so there's much more, I guess, specificity in the claim. And with respect to just generally whether application and code should be nonce words or not, it's our position that it's still a fact-specific inquiry, so it really will depend on the claim. But in this instance, we think we have enough detail in the claims about how the system would operate, how the different components interact, and what it's doing, that it takes it out of the realm of 112 paragraph 6.
Counsel, your time has expired. So we thank you very much, and the case is taken under submission.